Tonight, especially to me, we have a very special guest speaker. Brother Carson Marshburn will be delivering the word this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like, who was that guy? Saul. David has killed his thousands. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Praise God. We're going to let him come and deliver the word tonight. Amen. And I want Landmark to give him a good welcome as he comes to deliver the word of God this evening. Brother Carson Marshburn, our own youth pastor.
Praise the Lord, Landmark. Why don't we make a joyful noise even louder than that, just to let God know just how glad and excited we are to be in His presence here tonight. God's going to do some good things in this house here tonight. You believe it? Somebody shout, yeah! Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, very thankful for that introduction. It's not often that I get an introduction here at Landmark, because it is family. I don't know about killing tens of thousands, but I do plan on doing some devil stomping here tonight if I can get some help. And I believe that everybody else in this place is willing and ready, and you're going to be doing it as well here tonight. Amen? I am so excited about tonight, as I am every single time I get the chance to preach here at Landmark, because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is already a miracle in the making. That's just how it works here. We've received so much favor from God here at Landmark because of our prayer, because of our fasting, because of our dedication, Saturday night prayer. If you haven't been here on Saturday night prayer, let me tell you, you're missing out on something powerful. You're not just missing out on another time when the doors are open here at this church, but rather you're missing out on the chance to enhance what you're going to feel in service Sunday morning. I can't help but feel that someone's life's going to be changed in this place here tonight. You don't have to be a prophet to think that, to say that. All you got to know is that we're in God's house, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, I'm going to say it again, where the Spirit of the Lord is, and already tonight, it has been shown to me that we are right on target, exactly where God would have us to be. This morning, we had an incredible time with God, an absolutely awesome, Holy Ghost-filled, power-packed time with God. If you wasn't here, you missed out. But tonight, there are some new faces that I've already seen step in these doors. And I wanted to start out tonight by saying you are right on time for your blessing. Without even knowing your name, without even knowing where you're from, without even knowing what you're going through, let me go ahead and say you are right on time for your blessing. Maybe you're here and you have been waiting faithfully for answered prayer. You have been waiting under the direction of your pastor for due time and for the right season. But I feel as though your wait is almost over, and because of your faithfulness and your desire for the things of God, that tonight is your night and your wait is over. I said, tonight is your night and your wait is over. Now, we're getting ready to open our Bibles, and you can't make this stuff up. If you don't believe me, you're going to just have to come up here and look at my notes afterwards. But the song was sung. Then Pastor said it. I leaned over to Brother Nathan and Brother Yance behind me. I said, you're not going to believe this. Look at this. And I pointed at my notes, and both of them just began to shake their head. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to let you guess where we're getting ready to turn to. We're going to be turning to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. When you get there, say amen. Something good's on the horizon here tonight. For it to be done 3 times in one service. Wow. What's God trying to say to His people already? All right. Verse 1 says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided, or tongues, as of fire, and set upon each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Somebody say they were smart. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? That's where we're going to stop. I want to preach a message simply entitled tonight, Waiting Time is Not Wasted Time. Waiting time is not wasted time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, and I just wonder if every voice could be lifted high, if everyone could begin to call upon the name that is above every other name right now. Because great things are getting ready to happen in this house here tonight. Mighty God, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, dear Lord, to pour out your Spirit upon your people, to pour out your presence upon your church, oh God, here tonight. Let lives and hearts be touched, oh God, because of the prayers, dear God, of your people. For we are the people and the sheep of your pasture, oh God. And we're calling out to you, dear Jesus, which in all of our hope lies and dwells, oh God. And it's in your mighty and wonderful name we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated, but promise not to stay there too long. Sometimes the thought of waiting can, in itself, make us a little irritated. I know that I have sometimes a little bit of trouble when it comes time to waiting. Just tonight, got to the church, had my laptop, my notes were on the laptop, and I needed to simply get here and print them off, and we ran into an error with the copier, and I'm standing in there trying my best to get it copied, and comes about to 5 minutes before service starts, and I'm still trying to get it done, and finally it happened. But during that process of time, I got a little bit frustrated. I got a little bit irritated. I thought I was going to have to stand up here with my laptop, and then every one of you was going to think that I was on sermons.com. This is not from sermons.com. This is from prayer and fasting and believing God to pour something out.com. But I believe that people are genetically designed to be impatient. I was at a stoplight in Raleigh not too long ago, and I was minding my own business, waiting for the light to turn green, and as soon as it did, I mean as soon as it did, the car behind me hit the horn. Right when it turned green. Red, green, burp. Like I'm supposed to know exactly when things are going to happen. I read just the other day that, you're going to get a kick out of this, just the other day that almost 75% of the buttons you push to get a go light or a walk across the road light to come on is not even connected to anything, but is rather set up just to trick your brain into thinking that you are in control of your time. How many of us have ever come to a crosswalk and we see that button and we hit it and then we stand and wait? We hit the button, we stand and wait, and we think, oh, we're doing something now. Maybe if we push it a little bit faster, maybe if we hold it down, something's getting ready to happen. 75% of those things are not even connected to anything. So now I just made several people get ready to have a nervous breakdown next time you get to a crosswalk. It's made to try to make our minds believe that we are in control of our time. John 5, verses 1 through 8 speaks about a man healed at the pool of Bethesda. And verse 5 says this, After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. A great multitude of very sick people, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Somebody say 38 years. I don't know about you, but I've been sick before, and after 2 days, I'm a little bit frustrated and ready for it to be gone. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Somebody say, oh. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. After 38 years, most people, I believe, would have said, Wow, I guess I'm going to have to deal with it, but not this man. But yet I find it humorous because his eyes and mindset were so fixed on what he believed was his hope, the angel stirring the water in the pool, that he didn't recognize he was face to face with the creator of the angel that did the stirring. He didn't realize he was about to watch what happens when you wait. If you are not careful, we can get locked into emotion and forget the emotion. If we're not careful, we can get caught up in a church service as being just another time where we gather together and we listen to great music, we hear a word from the Lord, we clap our hands a little bit, we leave afterwards and we go get a meal. It's all a great time and it was another day at Landmark. And we forget the emotion of being in the house of God. We forget sometimes what God has brought us through. So much so to where coming to church doesn't seem as important as it used to be anymore. Clapping our hands doesn't seem to be as important as it used to be anymore. Lifting up our voice doesn't seem to be as important as it used to be anymore. Just the slightest little thing can completely cut our connection or our emotion to God when we're in His house if we're not careful and we begin to get caught up in just the motion. When the man was asked by Jesus, "Do you want to be made well?" He replied in basic terms, "Yep, but it's not my time." Don't get accustomed to your condition. And don't begin to accept the terms and conditions that the enemy is trying to convince you is inevitable. Because in this house here tonight, God's about to tell you to get up and to walk out of your circumstance. And if you're not careful, you won't recognize your chance. You're not hearing me here tonight. I said you won't recognize your chance. Sometimes we wait simply for the clouds to begin to part and pastor possibly to call a direct name out and say, right now is your time. Right now God's wanting to meet your need. When you are in the house of God and God is here and He's willing to touch each and every life, each and every heart, each and every soul, and it is completely dependent upon our reaction. You see, we get caught up so many times, I believe, in just watching what's happening around us. We get caught up in seeing the great things that are happening. We get caught up in seeing Sister So-and-so over here get a little bit of a blessing. Brother So-and-so over here going to the altar, and everybody's thinking, oh my goodness, what is he going through? Look at him. He's getting a good blessing from God. And we're sitting there thinking in the back of our mind, what if I could just get my miracle tonight? Maybe it's not my time, though. And we're watching the altar. We're watching where people are getting blessed. We're watching these three steps right here where so many people have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where cancers have literally fallen off of people's bodies, where lives have been brought back together. Can I say where marriages that seemed like they were never going to be fixed have been brought back together? There are so many things that have happened at this altar, and we watch the altar. We watch the people that are dependent upon God. We watch the people that are receiving their miracle, and we say, oh my goodness, if I could just get there. If someone, listen to me now, if someone could just say the exact words that I am needing. I don't even know what the words are, but I'm just believing that God will share it with Pastor, and he'll say that one word that's just going to make my spine begin to shiver, and I'm going to know right now is my time. Listen, every time you're in the house of God, it's your time. Every time you're in the presence of God, it is your time. Every time you have the opportunity and the privilege and the chance to lift your hands to heaven and shout the name of Jesus, it is your time. You see, if people knew what I was talking about, everybody would be to their feet, but not everybody's standing up right now because you're watching the altar. Who's going to get their blessing next? Who's going to get touched next? I wish it was you because your miracle is waiting on you. I find it interesting. I like to compare things when I read it in the Bible compared to today's time. And the best way I can compare, when I read this verse of this man that had been sick for 30-something years, he'd been sitting there and he'd been waiting. And then all of a sudden, Brother Nathan, Jesus walks up and he says, "Hey, yo, you want to get better?" He says, "Oh, yeah, I'd love to, but nobody can get me to it. Nobody can get me there. I try, but as soon as I get close to the pool, somebody gets there before I do." He's talking to Jesus. You see, too many times I think that we sit on the pew, we sit on the seat, and we're looking towards our miracle, and we know that it's just right there. And see, this is can I say this now? Because we're getting ready to build a big one. This is the small church, all right? We're getting ready to step into the big one. There's just a small amount of steps to get right here to where you can say, okay, God, I made it. Now what can I get from you? I've been praying for this for so long. I've been believing for this for so long. But yet the enemy has the tendency to say, nope, you're good. Somebody else is going to beat you to it, and there's not enough God to go around for everybody. But I'm telling you right now here tonight that the God that we serve is big enough to meet every need. He's not condensed down just to meet one person's need. He doesn't just want to baptize one person in the Holy Ghost. He's willing that every single soul that is out there that is lost and that is hungry would make their way to this house. Yes, we got one baptistry, but my goodness, we'll take them to the creek if we got to. We'll do whatever it takes because our God is able. But to get back onto point of where I was, I believe that so many times we're sitting there, Brother Randy. We're sitting there. We're looking at the altar. And our very miracle walks up behind us in the house of God and says, hey, Alex, you want that miracle? No one's going to get you there. Terrible. Do you know who I am? Okay. We hear the voice of God. We sense His presence. We feel the direct touch of the Holy Ghost upon us. It moves on us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And it's telling us what we should do. It's telling us, you know what? It's here. All you got to do is say, yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. What if Jesus would have said, oh, man, that's terrible. That's just so sad, and walked off? The man would have never known who he was talking to. And he probably would have waited till the day that he died. But something happened. He waited long enough that his miracle stepped up right beside him. Listen, you've been in this house possibly for a long time, and you've been praying for quite some time. I'm telling you right now, you think that you're a long ways from your miracle, but your miracle's standing right beside you, and it's been there all along. And all you got to do is say, yes, God, I'm willing and I'm ready. Let's do this thing and let's see what happens. And God's going to say it. He's going to say, get up and walk. But I love what the Lord did. He wanted everybody to see that the miracle had happened. But not only did He want people to see the miracle had happened, He wanted that man to leave what he thought was his only hope. Hear me now. He wanted that man to get up and walk away from that pool. That pool was designed for the sick. That pool was designed for those that were blind. That pool was designed for those that couldn't walk, for those that couldn't talk, for those that couldn't hear, for those that couldn't see. And when his miracle happened, he said, get up and go. I wish that some people in this house here tonight would get your miracle. And when you get your miracle, that we wouldn't find you next to the pool of Bethesda anymore. Because we know, you know, that your miracle has happened. When a person knows that they can walk, honey, they don't sit down anymore. When a person knows he can run, he doesn't slow down anymore. You see, it's all in our mind. Too many times we think, okay, God met that need. Yes, He did, but I'm right back at the pool again. That must mean that I'm needing something special from God again. No, you got your miracle, honey. All you got to do is get up and begin to run. You just got to get up and begin to run. I didn't say that that man probably didn't fall a little bit every now and then. He was running, was probably a little bit stumbly because he hadn't moved around quite a bit. But I believe that when he fell, he got back up and he kept going. When he tripped, he got back up and he kept going. Don't let a pebble in the road slow down your relationship with God. Don't let a wall or an obstacle in your way make you stop and think that God has left you. God has not left us. There's a building getting ready to be built over there to prove that God has not left us. He hasn't left us, and He's going to save your family. If a little bit more people would begin to run, would begin to get up and walk away from their circumstance, begin to realize that, you know what? God met my need. You see, that's faith. That is faith. You step into the house of God, you got a problem. People have problems. We all have situations. We all have trials and tribulations. There's needs that I'm praying for. There's needs that you're praying for. But you know what? When I bring it to an altar and I feel the presence of God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to begin to leap. I'm going to begin to shout. I'm going to begin to run because I know that my God hears my prayer. Thirty-eight years. Most people would have been done. Most people would have been fed up. They would have been finished. They would have said, it's over. I'm going home. I'm going to get somebody. Rather, yeah, I'm going to get somebody to carry me home, and I'm going to stay there because it's been so, so long. Do you realize if he would have left the day before, he wouldn't have met Jesus? Do you realize if Jesus told him, get up and go like he did, and the man said, nah, sorry, I can't do that. You didn't put me in the pool. You crazy? Do you realize that? He probably would have stayed sitting there. And here's something to ponder on. When Jesus says, get up and go, that means your miracle happened. And so if he would have remained sitting there, he would have sat down with his miracle. He would have sat there on that ground, in the dirt, Brother Ferrugia, with legs that could run, but not able to convince his own mind that he was healed. He would have sat down on his miracle and allowed people. He possibly would have even, when it came time for him to try to make his way back to the pool, he probably wouldn't have even tried to move his legs again. He probably would have begun to crawl and to drag himself with his hands. And the whole time, Jesus looking at him saying, what's wrong? Your legs work. I'm speaking to people here today that you still think you're broken. I'm here to tell you right now, what's wrong? Your prayer still works. Why are you still crawling? Your dance still works. Why are you still sitting? Your praise still works. Why are you still waiting? Your miracle has happened. I don't ever want to find myself in a position where I'm sitting down after God has said, get up. Waiting time is not wasted time. I'm not here to say that they're not going to have a little bit of time that you're probably going to have to wait on your prayer. But you know what? When you're waiting on it, there's going to come a day when God's going to do it. And I believe with all my heart that it's going to be tonight. So I'm here to tell you tonight that your waiting time has not been wasted time. But the only way that you can make it a wasted time is if you walk away. Don't walk away the day before Jesus gets there. Don't walk away the day before Jesus says, get up and walk. There are miracles that I believe that have already happened in this place. Maybe you haven't convinced yourself yet in your mind. I believe that there are children that are being stirred right now in the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that with me? I wish someone would just throw their hands in the air and shout yes. I believe that there are addictions that are beginning to fall off of people in this house here today. And the enemy's trying to whisper into your ear and say, no, it's not gone. It's not leaving. It's not finished. You stay sitting right there. One day you might get it gone, but it's not gone yet. And God's saying, get up. When the man was asked by Jesus, do you want to be made well? We know what he replied. Yes, but it's not time. Someone needs to say here in this house tonight, yes, and it is time. Yes, and it is time. I wish someone would just step out by faith already. God's already shown in this house here tonight that he's doing a mighty work and that his presence is here in this house. Nothing else needs to be said. There's going to be a little bit more that's probably going to be said, but I'm trying to get someone to step out by faith just for a second right now. I want you to lift your hands to heaven, and I want you to say this. You don't have to shout it, honey. You don't have to scream it, but I do wish someone would lift their hands to heaven and say, yes, and God, it is time. Yes, and God, it is time. Yes, God. Come on, somebody. I need to hear voices. I need to hear someone begin to shout. I need to hear someone begin to scream. Do whatever you need to do because right now is your time. Don't get accustomed to your condition and don't begin to accept the terms. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried.
whom they laid daily at the gate. He waited, he waited, and he waited to ask alms of them that stood and that walked in, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, Landmark, hear me now, because these words are going forth to the church right now. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I said, rise up and walk. Don't you sit down on your circumstance. Don't you slow down on your problem. Get up and walk out. Verse 7, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up." This man didn't know. He already didn't know. He didn't want to believe it. And so they picked him up. Landmark, I wish you would grab the hand of a neighbor right now and say, "Come on, get up, get up, get up, get up." And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Because when you stand after God said stand, the strength of the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. I wish someone would let your Holy Ghost loose here in this place here tonight. I wish someone wouldn't care about who's around you, wouldn't mind about what others might be saying, and just release the power and the presence of God that's within you. Come on, somebody, it's time for you to get up and get out. Waiting time is not wasted time. Come on, somebody, lift your voice all across this place. It's happening right now. It's taking place right now. It's happening right now in this house. The presence of God is here. The anointing, the power, the Holy Ghost is here in this house right now. God's already fixing what's broken. God's already repairing what's been damaged. Someone just needs to feel it. Someone needs to receive it. I'm going to say it one more time. And then we're going to let a little bit of praise loose here in this house. Are you ready? Someone needs to rise up and walk out of your circumstance. Don't you stand still. Don't you sit down. Don't you wait anymore. Because right now is your time. Right now.
I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire.
Catch on.
now. Holy Ghost, right there.
Catch on fire.
There's the Holy Ghost right there.
I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Burning with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Fire, catch on fire. 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 I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Burning with the Holy Ghost. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, they were all in one accord. When suddenly there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind, it filled the house where they were sitting in. Well, somebody so good catch on fire, catch on fire, catch on fire. I wish somebody so good catch on fire, burning with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. She hasn't been coming. She hasn't been coming to Hyphen very long. But since she's gotten involved with Hyphen, since Brother Paul has gotten involved with Hyphen, truth is coming. The revival is coming. The revelation is coming. And tonight she's being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands, clap our hands. Somebody make some noise in the house because the angels are rejoicing. One baptized this morning, one baptized tonight, two filled with the Holy Ghost. We're having Pentecost. We're having Pentecost. Victory. Overcoming. Hallelujah. Yeah. Reconciled. Yeah. The anointing is breaking the yoke and the bondage of sin, sickness, and disease. The Lord is prevailing. The power of God is providing. And the anointing is breaking the yoke. Let the Spirit fall. Let the power prevail. Let the anointing have its way right now in Jesus' name.
Well, I wish somebody so would catch on fire, catch on fire, catch on fire. I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Was fully come. They were all in one place. They were all in one accord. When suddenly there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind. Filled the house where they were sitting in. Well, I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Burning with the Holy Ghost.
What is that? Three filled with the Holy Ghost, two baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ already tonight. Come on now, that's something to worship God about. Woo! My. Mercy. One more going down in Jesus' name. Wow. Is our God somebody? How mighty and how awesome is our God? Wow. I believe they're getting ready. But while they are, why don't you find somebody? Shake their hand, tell them that it is so good to feel the presence of God once again in this place.
And why don't you also tell them, look forward to seeing you Tuesday night here for Bible study at Landmark. 7:30. God bless each and every one of you.